cliffcentral.com. Welcome to it. This is Untapped Talent right here on cliffcentral.com. It's a few minutes past nine. Thank you so much for having us on. My name is Siya Sangweni-Finn, and I'm joined by extraordinary ladies. It's like the thing today, just cool ladies, get into my face. We're all about conversations this morning, and that's exactly why I have them on. I have, you know, I don't even want to call her a comedian, first and foremost. She's like a bit of a thespian slash impresario slash like talented, awesome person, Lindsay Msimang. And I think she's absolutely awesome because I've just become addicted with MTV's You Got Got. And she's making great, great waves on that show. Because even when I don't remember to watch the actual episode, I see it trending and that's my reminder. And then a little later on in the show, I'll also be joined by an actor as well. She goes by the name of Didi Makobane, who's, listen, mark your calendars, 8 p.m. this Sunday in Zanzi Magic. You know how Sunday night Twitter is, people. You just want to be there and watch her. She's in a new series. It's called Yala. So I'll be chatting to them and getting the conversation underway on Untapped Talent this morning. But if you ever feel like you want to join in on the conversation, you know, you can always tweet us at cliffcentral.com, at @Sia_SF. And of course, you can be on WeChat. Our official account is Cliff Central. All you have to do is tap connect and message to show. Even I had to think about that for a second. Like, how are you going to talk to us again? Right. Now that that's all done and dusted, let's get the show. I know it. This is Untapped Talent.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
CliffCentral.com.
Let us kick the show off. Lindsay, good morning. How are you doing?
I am fantabulous. How are you?
And you are, Shem. You are.
Thank you. Even this, you're fantabulous, you know?
You know, let us devote the next hour to just throwing... I'm joking.
Just know you're awesome.
That would make such a great show. Like, I have no idea why.
It'll trend for days.
I don't understand why no one has put it in the plans yet.
No.
Listen, how do I begin to describe who you are? How do you describe yourself?
Well, I am an all-round entertainer, as you said, not just a comedian. I do pranks, I act, I present, I write. I'm just, you know, just... Yeah, the next jack of all trades.
Ooh.
Yeah, or Jackass.
Jill.
Yeah, Jill. Because I was like, Jackass.
I also remembered. I was like, hold on. There was Jack and someone else who went up a hill. Do you see, totally side notes, do you see yourself EGOTing one day? Because I see you doing that. EGOTing is winning an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
Yes.
I see you as like a Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes, yes, definitely. That's the ultimate dream.
We can listen to this podcast in like 40 years and you can be like, Sia,
I told you. Right. Okay.
Exactly. So where did it all start off with you?
So when I was younger, I've always loved drama and the arts.
Yeah.
And my mom picked it up when I was younger and she was like, you know what, let's just put this girl in every single art thing that has to do with the school.
Were you always the loud one at family gatherings?
Yeah, I was always the one making songs.
You were living
making
for your birthday
laugh.
Every year,
yeah.
Because the attention was all on you.
It was like, it has to be on me.
I see this.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. And I never really knew where to channel all my artistic energy.
Yeah.
And then my mom just decided, you know what, you should try an art school. But art schools were very expensive. So she found the best school that had art in it.
Yeah. Featuring.
Even though I failed maths. But my drama is very good.
And that's fine. You can be a thespian without trigonometry.
You know what I'm
it's
saying?
It's one of those things. Do you remember like your first performance? Like, did you have like a poem or did you have a role in a play that was like, yeah, this is it. This is what I want to do.
It was actually a poem, actually.
Was it?
Yeah, my first performance ever was actually a poem in a play.
Uh-huh.
So they asked me to audition for a play and they were like, you're a bit too young for what we're doing now. Cause,
was this still at school?
Yeah, this was still at school.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, because like I was still in primary and I was doing something that was supposed to be for grade sevens and here I am as a grade three.
So you already pushed boundaries.
I'm just like, you know what, I want to be in this play. And then, yeah, they were just like, okay, we're going to give you a small role and I performed a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's when the love of performing started.
So grade three, you were like probably nine, ten,
yeah.
And
yeah.
That was the first of like,
step.
I definitely want to do this.
Yeah.
And so did you then go back to the parentals and the family like, okay, listen, this is it, art school for the win.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was like, this is what I want to do. At first, my parents were like, ah, you know, just, you know, push the accounting, push the yeah. science, push all of that stuff. You'll never know. And I was like, good idea. And then after matric, I was like, that's it. I'm going to a drama school. I'm going to a film school.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. And yeah, in film school, I found the comedy in me. And then, yeah, boom.
So what did you study at film school?
I studied writing, directing, editing, and acting.
Shucks.
Yeah.
And why was it important for you to cover those?
Well, initially I wanted to do acting, but they advised that you do a whole lot of other stuff outside of acting just so that you have extra skills.
Yeah.
Because sometimes acting roles are not guaranteed or directing roles are not guaranteed, so you can have your finger in everything.
And the more you know, the better, I think, in this industry as well. Yeah. And let's explain this comedy path, because for me, I think I can understand acting because you're in a role and you know you can embody someone else and you know what Didi can tell us all about a little later. But comedy is like, hey,
it's your
I sort of can crack a joke, I can throw in a punchline, and I think I'm funny enough.
In your mind, you know.
How? Where do you go from the point of like, you know what, I can be a comedian, not just I'm a funny person?
Ooh, it's not easy, hey? It's a matter of taking it to the stage and seeing, and see if all of this that's in my mind, is it worthy enough for the people? And sometimes it's not worthy. I've seen things out there. I've seen flames, hey? I've seen... Yeah, see, bombs. You know when you're like watching Mississippi Burning on stage?
It's just a catastrophe. Like, you're like, how did this happen?
How did this happen? Why? But how I started, I was in film school, and a friend of mine and I, whilst we were supposed to be listening to a lecture.
Which, of course, was not your main priority or focus.
We're not doing that. We were watching... Cat Williams instead, because we pretended we're taking notes on the laptop. No, we are watching Cat Williams.
Yeah.
And my friend said, you know, you're actually very funny, try this thing. And I was like, no, I can't do it.
Wow.
So for support, he was like, okay, I'll do it with you, but whoever gets the laughs must stay. He went on, bombed for days.
So you saw him die in front of you.
And he was first. So
that must have been such a great confidence booster.
I was like, okay, you know what? Let's do this.
Yeah.
And I went on. People laughed. It wasn't a big laugh because obviously I still didn't know the techniques of comedy.
Yeah.
But he was like, they laughed.
What do you? What was your routine? Do you remember it? What is it called, by the way? Is it a routine? Is it a?
I think it's not a monologue. Set. No,
yeah, thank you.
It's not a monologue. It's not wherefore art thou? No.
Thank you for making me seem cool now. It's a set. I totally knew that. Yeah.
My first set was about me working in this English school, an online English school. So I was teaching people English online.
Was that really what you're doing?
Yeah, Chinese people online.
No,
yeah.
Shut up.
No, seriously.
Why is it that comedians always start off doing like the weirdest thing ever? You couldn't just start off as like a PA admin person. No, you had to teach someone in Asia English.
Yes, and you had to hear things like Tisha, everybody make murder. And you're like, no, that sentence says mistake. That's it's not murder, it's mistake. Okay, yeah, let's say.
That is absolutely classic. And people resonated with that. People were laughing.
People were laughing and they were like, wow, I can't believe someone would change mistake to murder. And so I was talking about that and it worked.
You mentioned comedy technique a little while ago. What does that mean? Because we see a set, now that I know the word, we see a set and it's just entertaining and it seems almost effortless or flawless and natural. Meanwhile, there's a lot of boxes to tick off, etc., etc. So what are some of those techniques that we don't know about?
Take any simple joke, like a knock-knock joke. It has three parts to it. There's an introduction, a body, and a punchline.
Uh-huh.
So that's the technique that you need to work your way into. So if you're telling a story, sometimes your introduction has to have a little bit of punchlines.
Okay.
In case you're telling like this long, boring story, you don't want people to look at you and go, okay.
What is she getting at?
Nice speech. You should be a politician. You know, like it's...
Wow, that would be the worst thing to hear.
Yeah, that would be the worst thing to hear. So it's all about, you know, knowing that this is my intro, this is my body, and the punchline is the thing that makes it go, what?
Yeah. Because you want that, you want it to progress, to escalate.
Yeah.
Okay. So on that note, let me try something out. I think you're the perfect person.
Awesome.
You know, I don't think I'm funny in English. I don't think I'm funny even in Vernac, you know, Anzulu. I don't think I'm funny in Vernac. I think I might have hope in Afrikaans. Okay, you ready for this?
I'm terrible in Afrikaans.
No, but it's a knock-knock joke in Afrikaans.
Okay, let's try it.
Glop, glop.
Wie's daar, right?
Lampie kry.
Lampie kry wie. Lampie kry wie.
Do you think this is my calling? Let's be that person to tell
knock,
me.
Knock, knock jokes for you, Sia, okay, are the best.
Philosopher, he's actually trying. Okay, can I try one more? Because this is becoming so pathetic, but I love it. Glop, glop.
Vistar.
Bonjo.
Bonjo.
I'm available for bookings. Every night, stand up. The Daily Show with Sia Sangwenifin. Moving on. See, it doesn't have that technique you were speaking of.
Yes, it does.
Exactly.
It does. It's that thing of you setting it up, there's a body, and then the punchline is just there on
Thank
its
you.
Own.
You know, I think you can be my agent on this one. But how do you navigate the comedy scene in South Africa? Where's like the ultimate place to perform, you know, because abroad, you know, there's the Apollo and everyone wants to be at the Apollo, or everyone wants to, I think, you know, just perform a monologue at a late night show in America. Yes. What's like that bar that everyone in South Africa wants to reach?
Theaters, definitely. So things like Lyric Theater, the Teatro, even in Cape Town, the Artscape, you know, the Playhouse in Durban, just theater. And there's a lot of things that are happening. Like you find the kings and queens of comedy. Mm. You find the, what's this show by Wacked? I'll remember just now.
Yes. Because I know the Blacks Only by David Gao.
Yeah, the Blacks Only. Yeah.
Yeah, all of these festivals. Yeah. Okay, and that's definitely what you've done, Anna Half. Let me just go through your repertoire, girl, because shame, you're impressive. Nando's Comedy Festival, Soweto Comedy Festival, opening Guy's Live Show, the Triple O Comedy, 99% Zulu Comedy. As I was saying, at the Joburg Theatre, Lord Make Me Laugh, Pretoria Comedy Festival, and the list goes on and on. Was that just your mission?
Yes.
Because as a comedian, I think as much as you can promote yourself on social media, etc., etc., people have to see you. People have to get your energy.
People have to say, who's that person?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, people have to do that. And it takes a lot of work to get people like David Gao to say, hey, come on to Blackstone.
Wow.
It takes a lot of work for people like the Nando's guys to say, hey, come to Mass Hysteria. There's the
name. Yes, and I just saw the billboard, the poster in my head as soon as you mentioned it as well. Yes. There's like Chester Missing, and they're all there.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, uh-huh. It takes some time to get to that point where they're like, you know what, you have something, come do, even if it's a five.
Yeah.
Even if you do a 5 minutes, it takes quite some time. And you just need to work on your technique, work on being funny. Because I've noticed some people are funny when they're talking.
Uh-huh.
And then...
like to say, here's now 5 minutes, make us laugh, is one thing. More, I wouldn't call it an interaction per se, but as if like someone else brings it out of them. There we go.
Yeah.
Somewhere between the two of us, we made sense.
They will understand the people out there.
Somewhere in the middle, it made sense. And what do you think sets you apart, though? Because I think that's one of the things of, you know, Trevor Noah, I remember when he was doing a lot of stand-up, it was, that guy, mixed race, and then he was DW, the day walker.
Yes.
Do you think, as a comedian, you have to focus on what sets you apart to actually be popular and be funny?
Oh, definitely.
Uh-huh.
Because as human beings, we're different. As much as there are many similarities, we're different. So as a comedian, you need to find that thing that says you are you.
Yeah.
And as you said, Trevor Noah found that thing of, you know what, I'm half black, half white.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ride on that, you know.
And a lot of people were saying like, oh no, you know, Trevor's going around telling the exact same jokes all the time. And I'm like, you guys, it makes sense. Even though in South Africa we've heard it, he's going to go to Australia. And that common thread that's going to make people understand who he is talking about being mixed race.
Yeah.
Or what's it called? Because I want to be politically correct. Mixed race. Biracial.
Hey, kinda. Hey, you must again.
Yeah,
let's
be straightforward. You know what we mean. Don't tell us words. And what do you think sets you apart, and what makes audience resonate with you?
So I grew up in Soweto, but my mom took me to...
Whereabouts in Soweto? Because I feel like it's a cool thing to now be like...
yeah, and from Soweto, even though you're not. Meadowlands Zone 2.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
You see. Yes. So I grew up in Soweto, but I went to a Jewish school, believe it or not.
Shut up.
So I think
is that
already.
The school your mother was like, this is where we'll get
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And every once in a while, you'd have to go to, you know, the synagogue, you know, all of that.
Did you have to as well?
Yeah, you have to.
Did you get religious holidays off as well?
Yeah. Like, we just did that.
Kudos to you.
Even though you're not Jewish, they're just like, oh, well, just take the holiday.
But here's a real cherry on top.
Yeah.
Did you get Christian holidays off as well?
No.
Okay. I was about to say, then you were in a sweet spot. If you were getting Ascension Day and Yom Kippur off, I wanted
like
to
be
you.
Like a month off, guys. Let's party. No.
Maybe you should have worked on that. I think that could have been something for you. So you draw from those experiences.
Yeah, draw from those experiences. And the contrast, because the contrast is very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like you go to Soweto and spring is summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to school and it's like, it's still spring, okay?
No, when okay? when it's hot for us chocolate people.
It's hot, it's summer.
It's summer.
It's cold,
don't tell
it's
us
winter.
Don't tell us about autumn if we have to put a jacket on.
For who? For
never,
what?
Never, never, never. Yeah. That must have been a very colorful experience.
Yeah,
though.
It was, definitely. And
wow.
Especially because when I started out in the school, I was like literally one of the three black people there.
Oh, wow.
And then as the years went by, you could see the black people starting to seep in.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, cool, welcome, guys.
Oh, did you feel like
We've
the ringleader?
We've been here for a while.
You were the ringleader of the black people.
Like, let me show you the white people, dude.
Yes. Let me show you the white people way. Okay, let me school
okay, let me
y'all.
School you.
Lindsay, when you look back at your career thus far, what has been like your standout performance?
Standout, it has to be Comedy Central, which I did like a few weeks back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so live at Comedy Central, it was amazing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think I was even sweating on stage because I was having that much fun.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was...
With that as well, the pressure though.
Yes.
You know, there's good pressure and then there's the sort of like, I'm about to have an anxiety attack sort of pressure.
Yes.
How do you deal with that?
You just go on stage and you hope for the best.
You have
and
to
do
it.
And you do your best.
Uh-huh.
You just have to do it, you know. Every once in a while I felt like taking a shit, but
yeah.
I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna waste time.
It's one of those things, you just have
you know,
to do
just
it.
Just forcing something that's not there, no.
Thank you very much for giving us those visuals right now. But what do you know about reading an audience? That's why I say like comedy is so, so tricky.
Yeah.
Because if you are at a corporate gig, for example,
yeah.
and there you are people in suits and ties, you can't... You don't
know if they're fun or
yeah.
they're serious. Yeah.
So what do you know about reading an audience and what have you learned about reading an audience?
I've usually learned that your first joke
mm-hmm.
dictates what your audience is. So if you tell a certain joke, let's say you tell a witty joke, like
okay.
one of those very nerdy jokes, and the people don't laugh, then you know that, okay, they look like nerds, but they're not.
So
let's scratch that list off and go this way.
Yeah.
Or if you tell something that's very ghetto and people are like, mm-mm.
No, I don't relate
no, I
to
don't
having
relate
to sit on the hot
on
little
the hot
strap in a taxi.
No,
yeah.
No,
we know that.
Then you know, oh, okay, pull out the Jewish jokes.
Maybe you'll understand that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever like bombed out on stage?
Ooh, yes.
What's the term dead? Have you ever
death.
Died?
Yeah. I've died on stage and the first death was, yeah, it was traumatic because, yeah, from starting from the beginning until
uh-huh.
my death, I've been doing very well.
Uh-huh.
So there was this ego thing like, yeah, me, I'm the boss. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then the comedy gods were like, we'll show you flames. Boom. And
do you still remember the moment? What was it?
I did. You know, when you're talking to people and there's no laughter to a point that they talk to each other.
Oh.
Yeah. Not even a, let's try and see what you'll say.
So now they're completely over
now
you and they're almost
like yeah,
cringing
chama,
for.
Like, kumbula that day.
No, Lindsay.
Seriously.
No.
Seriously. And I was like, you know what? Now I need to decide. Am I in this thing?
Uh-huh.
Or am I not?
Yo, what do you do? Do you like commit or are you just like, you know what, screw the 3 other minutes. I'm out of here and you're gone.
The first time I was just like, you know what, I'm off. Because clearly I can't win anyone.
Yeah.
And when I got off, fortunately the owner of the club was like, listen, you bombed.
Mm-hmm.
That happens.
Yeah.
I still bomb. I've been doing this for 20 plus years.
Okay, so they are forgiving in
yeah,
that sense.
Yeah. And he was like, you must decide now. Do you want to stay or do you want to go? I suggest you stay because you're quite talented.
Yeah.
But you must decide and just work on your content. That's it.
Yeah, hey, yeah. And ain't that the truth? Because, listen, Missy, if you were not confident, you wouldn't have landed this role on MTV's You Got God.
Yes.
So I heard a lot about the show that was really, really drummed up. And I was like, is it like similar to Punk? And what are they going to do? And I don't really know if this works for South Africa. And there was, from the get-go, the first episode, having Tall Asma as like the anchor of the show.
The show, yes.
And to see the situations. And it's so South African as well.
Extremely.
And the cast. How? Yeah. Let's talk about how you actually got onto the show. What is the process like? Did you have to audition?
So I knew Megan from AFTA.
Uh-huh. Megan is the producer of the show.
I knew her from AFTA. And she called me up one day and she was like, listen, MTV wants to do this show called You Got God.
Mm-hmm.
And they want us to bring in people. Do you mind coming through, talking to them, maybe doing an audition tape? And so my audition was shoot a prank.
Yeah, because I was going to say you can't necessarily deliver a set.
No.
Cause this type of show.
Yeah. So I had to shoot a prank for the pilot as a tester to see, do you guys want this show or not? And do you guys want these people or not?
Yeah.
And etc. And I did the prank and MTV was like, that girl that has no boundaries. We want her. She has no boundaries.
What is the prank and how far did you go?
So the prank was I'd ask someone for directions, like a guy for directions,
yes.
And then someone else comes and slaps my bum and then I blame the
guy. Yes, I've seen that one.
And they loved the Zulu guy who was just like, no, puti, ungithintisibono, angekwenzinto kanje. Ah, and sissy. That's all he kept, sissy. And I was just like, no, don't sissy me. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm all is scared of? Because as much as I enjoy the show, I sit at home and I cringe and I go, what if someone gets so pissed off, they slap you or they punch you? You can't control that.
Yeah, you can't control that.
And when you guys scare you people, listen, I'll have to say, I'm the most pleasant, polite person. Scare me. I become a potty mouth. My fists like are everywhere in the air. I cannot control myself. Are you never scared of that?
I'm always watchful.
Because I'm cringing on your behalf.
I'm always watchful for that. And I'm actually amazed that no one has ever done anything hectic. Like, I've had a shove. I've had like a little, you know, shoulder, you know, push.
Not a full-on assault.
Yes! No. I've never had that.
Do you at least have a clause in your contract? Like a medical something nyana.
I hope I do, you know?
I'm sure. Just investigating
in
this girl. Because,
just in case. Next thing I get a blue eye and they're like, sorry, but you asked for it.
But at least you made for good TV.
Yes.
That'll be the silver lining. In this whole process, what has been your favorite scenario though? Because I will have to say personally with you, it will have to be you were in like Bromfontein.
Yeah.
And you were just going up to random guys like, hey, do you want to donate your sperm?
Oh, yes.
You have great eyes. I'd love my child to have eyes like yours. Can you donate your sperm?
Oh, wow. That's actually my third favorite prank.
Uh-huh.
My second favorite is me pole dancing on people. Yes.
Okay. Now that is another thing. I'm like, you should have just sat with yourself a bit and gone like, how will people react?
How will people react?
Yeah.
Then I was like, you know what, screw it. Let's do it.
And then your first favorite.
And then my first favorite was rating weaves. Which, as a lady, I know you do not touch the hair. But
yes.
I was like, this prank is going to work. And if I get slapped, I get slapped, guys.
You have to make it work.
I just have to make it work. And I was out there rating people ones, zeros, minus one.
I think you were standing in a university.
Yes, it was at UJ.
On campus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, other people don't understand. We chocolate people. My latest thing now is to tell girls, like, you know, black girls, if you get on my nerves, listen, Cece, I'll just like throw water on your hair.
Yeah. That's it. That's all. You know what? Justin G.
That's the best thing. So influences with this, do you get like, is Leon Schuster still a big thing?
I'm not sure.
Do we get inspired by him for skits? And
no, we don't, because we wanna target the younger audience. Leon Schuster's for, you know, abo mametu, like,
and full on, it very slapstick.
Yeah, very, very, very
like,
slapstick.
Like, oh, I've just slipped on a banana. No offense.
No, offense at all.
In the middle of that, I was like, whoa, that is so offensive and bitchy.
Leon, if you're listening,
no. Like, there's a market for that. Yeah. But I think the way this is so relevant, I think, yeah, like, our parents don't necessarily understand this whole thing, no, with the weaves fascination.
No. My mom watches the show and she's like, yeah, that was nice. And I'm like, but you did not laugh. Did you laugh, man?
Yeah.
Isn't Ozen, yeah.
Meanwhile, then you get a tweet with someone saying Lindsay LMAO, and you're like, that's, yeah, a best, like, compliment.
That's it. There we go.
Listen, Lindsay, I definitely want to continue the conversation with you a little later on in the show. But then I also want to bring in Didi Makhobane, who's also an actress, just about to kick off a brand new show on Mzansi Magic. So you're not going anywhere,
No, I'm staying.
Okay, good.
Until the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You do know we don't have like a designated parking spot for you.
No, but it's fine. I'll park it's fine. On top of your car. It's fine.
Okay. The madness continues. That's the best way to explain it right here on Untapped Talent.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. Which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy. We are proud to say it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
Untapped Talent on CliffCentral.com.
This is Untapped Talent right here on Cliff Central with myself, Sia Sangweni Finn. Still continuing the conversation, we were chatting a little earlier to Lindsay, who, yes, we know is a born performer, always has been funny, was one of the few black people at a Jewish school, and is now ruling theater. From theater. I started off the show going like, how would you describe you? Now I'm describing
now you're
you.
Describing. There we go.
Black girl who went to a Jewish school and is now owning it. But we're also now joined by someone else. And, you know, someone, I think I was chatting to you a little earlier, and I said like, wow, Didi, you have channel hopped. But good on you, because if you want to be a success in this country, you have to do it. Didi is an actress, so she started off on ETV with the series Mzansi Love, Ikasi, you know, Kasi Style, Our Stories in 2012. Then you moved on to, help me out with this, you moved on to SABC 1.
Yes.
Afterwards, and you were doing?
Intersections 2.
As that spicy role.
Yeah, ish, that spicy girl.
Yeah, she was just a very sexually expressive, that's a politically correct term.
Yeah, I mean, look, she was just
why are we hating whore?
No, she wasn't a whore, she was just very generous with her lady bits.
You know what, maybe she's an entrepreneur.
She had a business plan. She had a steady man, and she had a sugar daddy, and she would use money from the sugar daddy on her steady man, who was still trying to make it. You know, a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
So some people may judge, but some people may think this is a good business plan. I personally don't think it's a good business plan, but I'm not here to judge. Okay. You moved on to your other notable roles, Here, Then, Everywhere. But then now, coming to you this Sunday on Mzansi Magic, DSTV channel 161, you're premiering on Yalla.
Yebo.
At 8 p.m. How are you doing, Didi?
I am good.
Thank you so much for stopping by this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Are you like, you're the true thespian. I see it in you. I feel like Didi's the type who will gain weight for a role. You will shave your head and you don't really care.
Probably, yeah.
When did you get this acting bug of yours?
Yo, the acting bug bit me from a very young age. I think when I was in primary school already, I knew I wanted to act. And then I spoke to my parents. I was like, guys, mom, please go to National School of the Arts and stuff.
Ah.
And like, study acting. Yeah. And, you know, my mom was a bit edgy about it at first.
Yeah.
But I think she really sat down with herself and she saw how passionate I was. Mm-hmm. Also during school plays and whatever, I was, you know, always in there and ready to be involved. And she's like, ah, why not?
I bet you were the girl. You were like, ain't nobody got time for being a tree. I gotta be
Nancy. I was like, what? I was like, you're not gonna make me a tree. Not with, I had too much to say. And you know, I was this ball of energy. And I always knew I wanted to be an entertainer.
Yeah.
And I always knew I wanted to either be, you know, in front of the camera or on stage.
Yeah.
Or both, which has been, you know, it's the journey now. And yeah, so that happened. And
no, you did make it to NSA, the National School of the Arts.
I did make it to NSA.
Did you guys sing in the corridors?
We did. We sang all the time.
Did you have choreographed musical numbers? Like, if a teacher sprung up a surprise test on you, you were like, no, miss, no, we ain't gonna do the test, no. I literally feel like this is what NSA would be. Because I grew up in Durban.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I could choose a school, even though NSA is so far, I would love to go to NSA.
Yeah, it was a dream.
Because it was around the time of, like, High School Musical for me. And I was like, ah. That's what they do.
Yo,
they
when I got to NSA, song. Like, my first day there was a complete culture shock, because it was like a high school movie. You know those high school movies we used to watch?
Yes.
It was exactly like that, except we were wearing uniform, and even the uniform was remixed, and yes, you know, sis. it was a turn up. Like, I properly turned up for 5 years.
So just with that, where were you with the cliques in high school? Were you the mean girl?
No, well, ish.
Let's expose you now.
No, see, what had happened was they were the popular girls, and then a couple of friends and myself decided, guys, let's start our own clique, Loro. Now we can also be cool if we wanna.
Let me guess, you came up with a name for your group, didn't
you? Yeah, what were we called? Ish, we had like 5 names because everyone wanted
it was a squad. It was a squad.
But yeah, our squad was like the scavengers. I don't know why.
Scavengers.
I don't know why.
Let's be honest for a second. Lindsay, did you also go through a squad phase?
No.
We had to.
I teased squads, dude.
Oh, okay.
I was one of those.
I was in a squad back in my day as well.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, now we called ourselves Soul Damage. Don't ask. Don't. We had a thing.
I have no right to ask.
And when, like, a teacher would reprimand us, we'd all huddle into a corner, like, you know, link up in arms. Yeah. Like, we're so damaged. We're damaged. Like, just hype ourselves out, and then, like, leave it, like, you know what, miss, whatever. Give us detention, but we're damaged. We're like, what is that? We thought we were cool.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's just wanting to be cool.
At least we grow out of it.
Yeah. Thank
and
God.
Thank you guys for doing that.
Imagine you're in a clique, like, in a clique, well, in your 20s.
Like, you don't know, guys.
Oh my God, revelation. Yeah.
Hello, my name is Lindsay. I'm representing Ama Lions. Like, that sounds
ridiculous.
Okay, it was cool back then. All right.
Yeah. I'm 26. I'm representing Ama No, guys.
It's
it
insane.
Was the thing back then.
It had to happen. Yeah. It had to happen back then.
At least, Didi, you were productive, though, at NSA.
Yes, I really was.
What are some
really
of the productions you were involved in back then?
I did a production called After Mrs. Rochester. That was like one of the most challenging plays I'd ever been involved in. And I actually got a SANCTA nomination for Best Supporting Actress.
What does that mean, SANCTA?
It's the South African National Community Theatre Awards.
Wow. Hmm. Wow. And even when she said, like, what did you mean? The role? I was like, I've never heard of that play. So it's clearly classy and deep. That is big.
And then
how
I
old
did...
were you when you won that award?
I didn't win it. I was just nominated.
Oh, nominated. Yeah.
I was about 17 years old, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then I also was involved in a play called Flipside, a.k.a. Boer, which is Blacks Against Whites.
Okay.
So basically the whole theme of the play was mass hysteria. And we're like, oh my gosh, what would happen if Mandela had to die? There would probably be like, you know, reverse racism and stuff. So it was initially an exam, but we did so well that we ended up going to the Grahamstown
Arts Festival.
And yeah, that was in high school. I did West Side Story as well.
Uh-huh.
That was for my final my final year in high school.
Mm.
There was that.
Yeah, but I feel like that must be, to a certain extent, your driving motivation in being an actor, to be able to tell these stories of these situations. What would happen if Mandela were to pass away back then? And you think of all these situations. Because really, ultimately, I feel like with theatre and acting, you are holding up a mirror to society. You are
Definitely.
Making people think a certain way. And of course, entertaining, just flat out.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I'm sure with being a SANCTA nominated somebody, that was when you were like, family, listen, I'm going to go and study.
Yeah.
You studied a BA Dramatic Arts, and you actually have an honours degree in that now.
Yes.
At WITS.
Yes. Shem,
wow.
Halala,
Shem.
Thank you.
Shine girl.
Thank
wow.
you so
Educated
much.
Woman.
Wow.
I like to thank my mom and my father.
Okay, not acceptance speech just
why
yet.
Why do black people like shout outs? Like, why?
Because, you know, we're representing.
We grew up calling in radio just to be Olukonza.
Olukonza, yes. Thanks.
I don't know why. Because, like, the cool thing to say, you heard me on radio, it's one of those. We can't get out of it. Have you planned an acceptance speech, by the way?
I have planned it, but I'm not going to.
Where are we aiming? Is this like our Oscar acceptance speech?
No. The Oscar one. Yo, the Oscar one I haven't worked on. The Oscar one, I have to try and figure out how not to cry first.
Oh, yeah. Wabo. Okay.
But I'll practice enough with the SAFTAs. I'll have enough practice with the SAFTAs and, you know, other film awards and stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's this guy. He has 2 syllables in his name. Nah? It's just very short. Not going to take enough time, a lot of time, because I know, like, with acceptance speeches, it's cuts like 15 seconds or 30 seconds or something. So this guy, Sia, ne? Just Sia, it will flow out of your mouth. Maybe if you can put him on, like, thank you, Sia from Cliff Central.
Oh, yeah,
just cut down. Maybe Sia from CC, and I'll understand.
No, it's fine.
Can we work on that?
We'll fagger you in there. We'll just put in a shout it out loud for Sia, like, yo, yo, yo.
Thank you.
Oh, and Sia, bye.
Yeah, that's all I need. And I will so be happy. But I feel like as much as you studied or you went to NSA and you got your honours degree in dramatic arts, I don't think that adequately prepares you for waiting for castings, being rejected. How do you manage that?
I guess what I do is I don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to a casting, and this is something that I've learned, because I remember as a kid, I went, well, in high school, after I got an agent,
yeah,
I went for a casting and I waited for so long, guys, and I didn't get it. And like every day I was panicking. I was like, oh my gosh. And I had braces at the time.
Oh, so it's just
so it just nothing dismal. Was working out for me. And I remember calling them like a month later and I'm like, hi guys, did I get the advert? And they're like, babe, we shot that a long time ago. Ooh.
Wow. So they didn't even get back to you to tell you.
I didn't even get a call back.
Wow.
But what I've learned to do, well, this is now after varsity and, you know, after I harnessed my skills and I was actually ready now to go out into the big world, was I go to an audition, and as soon as I'm done auditioning, I let go of it completely.
How do you do that? I feel like that's easier said than done, because you're really pouring your heart out there. And, you know, when you look at it realistically, this is a job, this is money, this is, you know, promoting and, you know, taking a step forward in your career. So how do you just go, Wusa, it's done. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Exactly that. Because if something is meant for you, it is meant for you. Regardless of whatever circumstances may come, if it's meant for you and it's yours, it will be yours. And nobody can take it away from you. And in the same token, if it's not yours, then, well, it's for somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm the only actor in Joburg or in South Africa. And I may not be what they're looking for. And I need to learn how not to take that personally.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously a casting director sees something that they want in particular.
Yeah.
You know,
but do you get to that point where you auditioned for Project X and you didn't get it and you now recognize the girl who was sitting next to you at the audition and you can watch and you can be happy for her?
I don't know about him. Okay. Maybe I'll watch. Like,
I love that you're honest, though.
I'm honest. Especially if it's something that I wanted badly. Like, I'd be like, yeah, she's cute, but I could do it better.
Yeah, man, I'm just cuter.
You know what I'm saying? But then in the same token, I watch some shows and I see whoever got that role that I auditioned for. And I'm like, you know what? Actually, this person is executing it perfectly. And I would much rather this person have it than me, actually. And I get moments I'm like, actually, maybe it's a good thing that I didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know,
Lindsay, do you get to that point where you can be the bigger person and be happy for a person? Like, you know what? Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, as Didi said, you know, it's just a matter of if you're doing it, don't attach yourself too much to it.
Wow.
You know, so it's that thing of it might happen, it might not. If it does, yay. If it doesn't, yay. Moving on to the next thing.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, but when I see someone and I'm like, but yes, they wanted a dark girl. I think I'm darker. Yeah.
You guys are clearly bigger people. Because in my head, I'm now thinking, because performing in theater, you know, the stage is lit.
Yeah.
The audience isn't. And if I didn't get the job, I'd be sitting in the audience because you can't see me. And I'd be booing.
Like,
I'd be throwing things on. Bigger people. That is why you are making advances and I'm just sitting here chatting to you. Didi, have you ever, you know, pictured your ultimate role that you'd like to have?
Actually, funny story, when I did Intersections, because it's something that's completely far-fetched from who I am.
Yeah.
I was really excited about it because I'd always wanted to be like a bad girl and stuff.
Yes.
And I got to be a bad girl. And then after that, I was like, ooh, I wonder what it would be like to play a younger role. And then on Sticks and Stones, I actually got to play a 17-year-old, a feisty 17-year-old, and nothing close to what I was when I was actually 17. So, yeah, I mean, I get my moments where I'm like, I'd love to play a role like this. And I actually manifest it because they actually come to life.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm still... I want to be a super villain, though.
Like, villain as in kill someone? Or, like, just be a B-I-T-C-H for no reason?
Yeah. Just B-I-T-C-H, kill somebody. You know, just... I want to be that girl. I definitely would like to break away from the roles that I've done recently. Because they're very similar in their nature. It's always the feisty, ratchet chick who's... opinionated and got a lot to say. So actually, apart from playing a villain, I would love to really tap into a calm character, not too boring, but just a different side of what I've been playing thus far, or the characters that I have been portraying thus far.
Yeah. And so let's talk about this new character that you're about to play, Keke, ne? On Yalla. So it premieres this Sunday on Mzansi Magic at 8 p.m.
Yes.
Ne? Tell us more about her and the production as a whole.
Keke, Mujim.
She has no words.
No, it's because every time I read my script, I'd be like, wow, what am I going to do with this girl? She is... too much.
Wow.
You know? But Keke is feisty as well. She doesn't take nonsense for shit. She is ready. She's always like logged on. You know what I'm saying? You come there.
You can't tell her anything.
You can't tell her anything.
Because she'll tell you your business.
Now. And she doesn't mind shame. You know? She's very independent. She cares a lot for her best friend. That's, I guess, the one person that we see her... that we get to see Gege's vulnerable side. What did I say? My sentence.
Yeah, you English. It's English, no. Yeah. But basically you're saying Gege's feisty.
And
one of the people that she's very open with is her best friend.
Her best friend.
So then overall, what's the story? Where's the story set? What can we anticipate from the series?
The story is has various settings. It's set in the mines, it's set in hostels, it's set in a tavern, like those kinds of...
Is it present times? Kind of,
it is present times. However, it does borrow from elements of... a somewhat forgotten culture called Marashi, and you know these guys were seen as tyrants and gangsters and stuff, mainly from the mines and so on and so forth. And even though they got involved in a lot of, you know, nasty activity like selling drugs and you know, engaging with prostitutes and gangsterism and all sorts of things, they actually protected their community. So they would be the taking matters into your own hands, especially during the apartheid regime where, you know, a lot of policemen weren't really involved with community-based crimes. So if you were to steal from you know, a woman or hurt a woman and the Marashi got to find out about it, your ass was in trouble.
Basically, Marashi is like mafia.
Yeah.
Translation.
Yeah. It's just loosely.
Oh, loose. Yeah.
Mara, mafia.
But actually, it's because it was developed by Sotho migrants who came into South Africa. So like close by, nearing provinces like in South Africa. So your Valcoms and stuff like that. And they actually adopted that name from the Russians because they were so impressed with
Marashi.
Yeah.
My people, we will never be Uhuru. We are not yet Uhuru. We just take Russians.
No, Marashi.
Yeah, like I like it. I'm going to use it.
Marashi.
Did they eat Russian at all?
Maybe. It was their staple diet. Who knows? You know? Like, let's see how quickly you can eat this Russian before you become
Listen, it's a 13 episodes, ne?
Yeah.
Have you guys wrapped shooting?
Yes, we have wrapped.
Oh, damn. You know, because I would have suggested, like, a long-lost cousin for Keke. And this cousin was in a Jewish boarding school. And then in come Lindsay. Just telling business. You see?
Lindsay wouldn't win with Keke, though.
Who do you think would have won?
Nobody wins against Keke.
So Keke
is that girl.
Keke is like the cookie. Because I'm going through an empire phase right
now.
She's like a cookie.
You can't tell her anything. She'll cheat on her man in front of her man. And when her man tells her to not do that, she's like, no, babe.
Yeah.
Get yours. Like, why are you letting other men touch me?
I'm living my life.
It's not my fault. Mm. It's not my fault. I'm hot, boo.
Yeah.
Mm. And she's that ratchet hot.
She's the ratchet hot.
Bona.
Like pink lipstick.
Bona.
Where, meanwhile, blue eyeshadow.
Raise a card. Girl.
I'm very excited.
Got jewelry. Like, how am I indicating?
Just, and we have tacky gold jewelry.
Bona.
We don't care whether it's real gold or not.
She's very good friends with the Chinese market because. Okay.
This Sunday, the countdown begins.
The countdown begins.
But listen, ladies, I want to ask both of you this question. You know, one in actress, one in comedy. Don't you feel like the world is becoming smaller and your ambitions can now be as high or as big as you want to? You know, in comedy, here we are. We're having our very own South African.
Yes.
In New York, I just think with Trevor Noah, the pinnacle for me. Yes, you have a show, but to have your face on a New York cab.
Yes.
What's more American than that?
Yeah.
And here you are now with being an actress, Didi, and you have Terry Pater with the movie Ayanda, which is opening in cinemas and now has been picked up for international distribution.
Yeah.
Hello, can we just have a moment, please? Ava DuVernay, who is a director, she directed Selma with Mom Oprah, you know, my mother, that everybody knows by now. She just hand-selected Terry Pater's movie for international distribution. That is huge.
That is huge. That's massive.
Here we are. We now, I feel like with you two, you can now dream whatever you want to and you can make it happen. Don't you feel the
true
same?
True story.
Definitely. I mean, For example, like Trevor Noah, I mean, I'm sure it must have been very hard for him to break that market, but now it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can enter it, and now we can just penetrate all of that, just go in and go for gold.
Because
and
you now have a person, it's not like, where are you from? It's like, no, sorry,
I'm from South Africa.
Just like Trevor.
I know two people, Nelson Mandela and Trevor. Oh my gosh, now I know three people. This is exciting. You know?
But, you know, in a weird way, okay, we'll just accept that and we'll go with it.
We'll fight.
Yeah. And what about you, Didi?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like, because, you know, when I was younger, I'd be like, oh my God, I want to be famous and I want an Oscar. How am I going to do it? Like, I don't live in America and it's so far and stuff. But with everything that's happening, it actually does show that, you know what, dreams come true and it's not so hard to attain anymore. You know, technology is also so advanced that it literally brings us close together.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, YouTube, I've got people watching me on YouTube, for example, people in London and like all over the world.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? There are people in London watching me. You know,
that's, and who recognize my talent, find me entertaining.
That definitely means that the world is definitely becoming smaller, and the market is becoming easier to penetrate and infiltrate. Yeah. Like Lindsay said. So,
what does that mean now for your aspirations? 5 years' time for both of you. Where will we see you?
5 years' time, touring the world,
mm-hmm.
Possibly doing a lot of comedy movies because I love dumb things.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people like criticize Kevin Hart, for example, saying like, oh, he's so slapstick. No, there's a place for it, and I find him refreshing.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So, and also there's not a lot of women doing dumb things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only one I can think of from the top of my head is that lady from The Heat, Flip.
Wanda Sykes.
No. Yes, she's one of them. Definitely one of them.
Then it's... Queen Latifah.
No.
Kim Whitley. Is that her?
Yes, her. Is it Kim Whitley? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So she's the only one from the top, like, that I think that is doing, like, proper comedy things, comedy acting. Whereas you'll find a lot of men out there doing the comedy acting. So definitely doing more, you know, comedy acting, touring the world, and doing shows like Trevor Noah.
Who knows,
they might ask for another host,
an African contributor, a writer, who knows, girl. Let's just punch it out there. We must make it happen. And Didi, what about you? 5 years' time, where can we see you?
5 years' time, I'd definitely love to see myself more involved with feature films that are showcased in festivals countrywide and around the world. That's definitely what I'm tapping into right now. And just like literally seeing where life takes me, touring the world like Lindsay said, and just doing amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be doing on Sunday,
and doing more theater shows, because you know that's also a deep-rooted love that I have. That's why I called you a true thespian. That's where it all started. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, just really spreading my wings and traveling the world doing what I love. And spreading the love and that's just awesome. Telling people that you can do it if you wanna.
That is awesome. So listen, ladies, thank you so much for stopping by this morning. Didi, the countdown begins now, Sunday, 8 p.m. on Mzansi Magic DSTV 161. And then Lindsay, are you involved with the Johannesburg International Comedy Festival?
Yes, sir.
6th to the 8th of November.
Yes, sir.
And oh, where lovely. Can people get more info on that?
So they can go to www.jicf. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had to think. Johannesburg International Comedy Festival. .co.za. Get all the details about where the shows are. I'll be performing at Live on the 13th floor. So it's going to be in Bromfontein, just upstairs from Neighbor Goods.
Awesome.
Yeah, okay. So I'll be performing with the likes of Celeste Nduli.
Love her.
And it's going to be amazing.
Yes,
so,
and then
yes.
Personal handles for both of you. Where can we follow you as well?
Me on Twitter.
She had to think about that. She's like, yeah. Konja, what?
Konja, Netweer.
Like, and it's where?
Twitter, Instagram, wait, which one? Okay, so Twitter, you can follow me at Deedstar.
Uh-huh.
That's at DEEDSTAR.
Mm-hmm.
And Instagram, it's DD_Makobane.
Perfect. And what about you, Lindsay?
Twitter, Lihle_Msimang. Instagram, Lihle_Msimang. Facebook, Lihle_Lindsay_Msimang.
Okay. We'll just replay this podcast and get all the like correct terms and the order there.
I almost gave you YouTube, but yeah. I was like, okay, stop.
Somewhere in the middle. But listen, ladies, you guys are absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for stopping by this morning. Best of luck with everything. Between Yala on Sundays and You Got Gods, like my day is done right now.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
My awesome guests for stopping by this morning. And most importantly, thank you for listening. We do this every single week, a Friday from 9 till 10 a.m. right on cliffcentral.com. Until next week, my name is Sia, and I'll see ya.
Untapped talent on cliffcentral.com.